This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy, a Republican representing his state's 6th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on the latest developments in the ongoing congressional health care debate. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, good to be here.
One of the things we're learning about now is, of course, the ongoing effort to pay for the Democratic version of reform. And what we're hearing is that wealthier Americans, individuals making north of $200,000 a year and couples above $250,000 a year could be seeing some additional tax increases. Explain exactly what the Democrats are planning here as best as you know.
The Democrats have got to pay for their expanded coverage. And the way they would do it is taxing folks who are upper income. If I were those folks, I would consider themselves targeted because they've also been proposed to be taxed for financing many other schemes. And so I think we see an administration hungry for tax dollars and who is quite willing to even do things such as tax small business women and small businessmen, which, of course, will ultimately affect job creation.
And let's talk about that a little bit more. As I mentioned before, you're a practicing physician. You've taught at the Louisiana State University Medical School. Your wife's a physician, so you know this very, very well. Talk about what we saw yesterday in terms of the Obama administration making a deal with these hospital associations. They say it'll reduce costs by $155 billion over 10 years, but somebody's got to pick up the tab. Who's it going to be?
Well, there's an article out today which makes the point I was making a couple days ago. Business is concerned that the people who will pick up the slack will be business, and not just business, of course, but the people whom they employ. Ultimately, that will come out of salaries. If you think of healthcare costs, it's like a tube of toothpaste. If you, without real reform, if you squeeze it here, it bulges there. And so they're squeezing it in terms of what government has to pay, but business rightfully fears it's going to bulge where business pays. That's called cost shifting. It's a trick that the government's been using for quite some time. They pay hospitals, doctors, others less than their true cost. Hospitals, doctors, and others shift that cost to the privately insured, meaning you and me.
So what's the real price tag on all this? We hear everything from $1 trillion to $3 trillion and a whole bunch of different numbers in between. What's the best estimation as far as you can tell?
The latest I heard on, I think it's going to come down to a consensus of about $1.5 trillion. Now, the craziness about it is we keep hearing the system is too expensive, and yet we're going to add $1.5 trillion. Now, I will say that there are some that estimate, as you said, up to $3 trillion. The other bad thing about this is if you look at some of the cost drivers, what's making healthcare more expensive for the average person, a part of it is exactly what we just discussed, cost shifting from Medicare and Medicaid to the privately insured. So one of the options is the public health plan, in which government basically creates Medicaid or Medicare for even more Americans, which will cost shift more dollars to the privately insured. It's doubling down on part of what's wrong with the current system.
So we'll end up paying for a big chunk of this no matter how it breaks down, if in fact this ever becomes law. And of course, we're trying to cover 47 million people here. But as I say that, Congressman, some are saying now that the way the plan is currently constructed, and it could change, but right now, only a fraction of that 47 million would even be covered by the new Democratic plan. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, Greg. One of the earlier estimates I read about the Kennedy plan in the Senate is that of the 37 million, I'm saying this off the top of my head, but ballpark it, about 20 million would come from existing health plans, about 16 or 17 million would be the newly insured. So it's a little bit of crowd out from the private sector. On the other hand, that's the CBO. The Lewin Group says that if you create a public health insurance plan, as many as 140 million people would leave their private insurance and move to the public. Looked at differently, that's 140 million people who are now advocating for bigger government. As conservatives, we should be concerned about that.
And Congressman, another issue that's out there is, again, the taxing of healthcare benefits. Some are saying that unions actually would be exempt from that. What do you know about that, and what do you think about it?
The unions and working people, as part of their contract negotiations, said, listen, we'll take less money in order to get increased healthcare benefits. Now, that was a decision they made at time of contract negotiations. Some would say renege on that and make them pay anyway despite that. During the campaign, John McCain said, well, this would be a reasonable way to raise it. Frankly, President Obama demagogued it, and he said, oh, we can't go around taxing people's health care benefits. Now that he's demagogued it in the campaign, he's suddenly embracing it afterwards. And he's stuck in a rock and a hard place. Here are some folks who, as part of their contract negotiations, gave up income increase in order to have these benefits, but now he needs that money in order to pay for his grand programs. He's put himself between his demagoguery and his need for more money in a rock and a hard place.
What's the right approach here, Congressman? You and I have talked about this before, but rearticulate the principles if you can, and what the Democratic response is to the more conservative market-based approach to reform.
A couple things. The Democratic principles that Ronald Reagan said so well, individual responsibility, free enterprise, and limited government, believe it or not, do work in health care. If you have this kind of organic patient-physician relationship that works from the bottom up, as a physician, I know that if you have an HSA, a health savings account, where the patient actually has some of their own money, now maybe they would get a tax credit to fill up their initial bank account, but the fact is it's their own money deposited there. Suddenly they have a vested interest in making sure they spend that money wisely. I use the example recently. Someone tells me this. His HSA, he goes to his doctor. His doctor prescribes him an ulcer medicine that cost him $159. He knows this from experience. He says to his physician, I'm paying for this out of my health savings account. Do you mind writing me something inexpensive or less expensive? And the doctor, oh, I'm sorry. And he tears up the prescription, and he writes him a prescription for $20 generic, which is basically as good. And so the patient-centric account in which the patient is looking after her or his own dollars is the best way to control cost. The ripple effect of that is tremendous. Imagine if in every single interaction that was occurring. Now, the Democratic proposal, aside from nationalizing health insurance, is really not radical. It continues to have a bureaucratic, top-down, we're going to regulate cost and shift it onto the private sector approach. The radical approach is the Republican-conservative approach. Let's put the patient in the middle with individual responsibility. Let's limit government's input into this, and then allow free enterprise, because you can promise once all those folks with HSAs make the decision for the generic, the cost for the name brand is going to begin to drop. Those principles work in every other aspect of our economy. They can also work in healthcare if we give them a chance.
Last question, Congressman. Obviously, people are worried about a growing bureaucracy, and if the government option becomes part of law, then rationing could be coming down the road, and doctors might have incentive to leave the profession. As someone who has instructed medical school students, what do you think this plan, if approved, would mean for the number of people pursuing a medical career?
I think that people that go into healthcare are typically very mission-driven. And so they will come out of college and they will say, yeah, let me do it. It's fantastic. Because, frankly, most people go into medicine want to help people. On the other hand, it may be that there will be more folks retiring early. You see that now. As headaches have increased and lawsuits have increased, more physicians are going into early retirement. Fewer physicians are going into primary care. And so because of that, we now have a shortage in primary care in particular. So I do think that it will begin to wear people down. Just the paperwork and the documentation for no apparent purpose except to satisfy a bureaucracy will rob people of their reasons for going into a healing profession. That's what I most fear.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy represents his state's 6th Congressional District. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.